Welcome to the CCFR Radio Podcast, your source for news, updates, and stories from the CCFR.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 86 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Rod Giltacka. Thanks for joining me again today on the podcast. We're going to talk about the technical aspects of Bill C-21. Tracy and I and Mike Loberg attended a technical briefing from Public Safety. The Director General of Public Safety and Policing or something hosted that one. And so we've got a little bit of inside information about Bill C-21. So I'm going to talk about the technical legal stuff, how it might affect you as a gun owner, kind of dry stuff. I'll try to make it a little bit more fun. You know what'll be fun about it is you'll hear how I talk after I've been at it all day, because it's like 3 o'clock now. And, I'm only good till about, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And then my intellect starts to go like this, which, you know, I'm not starting from a very high level to begin with. So it's a real challenge this time of day. That'll be the entertainment part. But before I get started, I would like to thank our sponsor, Vortex Canada. Vortex, the power of optics. Thanks everyone over at Vortex Canada for continuing to support the podcast. We really appreciate it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to just make a couple of quick announcements. Then I'm going to talk about Bill C-24. I'll bring Tracy on. We'll talk about a little bit more fun stuff, some political stuff about C-24 and a couple of other things going on in the community. Anyway, I just recorded that, so I'm already thinking about how funny some of the stuff was. I hope you enjoy it. I'm going to try to get this podcast done 30 minutes, maybe 40 minutes tops. All right. So first couple of things, I was on CKNW in Vancouver with Mike Smith. I think it was the day before yesterday, and Najma Ahmed from the Spin Doctors for Protection from Guns. She was on before me, and she made a complete fool of herself when trying to talk about firearms. She hasn't got the faintest idea what she's talking about. Like, I had students come through the firearm safety course that had been there for 3 hours that know more about firearms than she knows today. So, and she shouldn't know anything about firearms. She's a doctor. She's supposed to know about, penetrating trauma, right? When it comes to firearms, powder burns, stuff like that, right? And so it's not surprising, but again, they hold themselves out as experts in policing policy, firearm policy, firearms as objects, the gun culture, the role of firearms in Canadian society. They don't know any of that stuff, right? But anyway, it was a terrible disaster. I can't imagine how she felt after she got off the phone. I'm going to find a link to that, because I think there's a link floating around to that interview. I'll put it down below. But if you only have 20 minutes to listen to interviews today, make it the interview that I did this morning with Danielle Smith. Okay. I have the link for that. It's in the description box below. Listen to that one. It was just a great, relaxing conversation about the problems in our society, what solutions might be, a real candid discussion about the concerns of people and about guns. And it was really, really great. And I think if we had more conversations like that, there wouldn't be such a rift between gun owners and everyone else. I really believe that. I believe that conversation can bring us together, and a little bit of mutual respect and humility. That's something that's kind of missing too, by the way. Okay. And then, I wanted to do a debunking. I wanted to debunk Bill Blair. I guess he was on Power and Politics or something. And people keep messaging me like, did you see Bill Blair on that? Or it was either that or it was Power Play. And I'm like, no, I've been busy, right? And they're like, we got to see it. He lies like 10 times. I'm like, okay, I'll have to deal with that later. So we have too much to talk about Bill C-21 to deal with that. But maybe the next podcast we'll have a little bit more time. I won't have to talk about all this other stuff, and we'll cover that. Okay, so things that you should know about Bill C-21. Let's start with our airsoft friends and people that own pellet guns and even spring-loaded guns, right? So we were in a technical briefing today with the Director General of Public Safety and the Director General of Policing and the Department of Justice and somebody from the RCMP. So there's a bunch of people in there, and then the gun owner groups, as well as the business, the commercial gun owner group. And here's the thing about replicas. So basically there was a gap in the law between what is considered a replica, which is a prohibited device, and then what's considered a firearm, right? And there was a sweet spot in there, depending on whether something fires a projectile and how fast it fires that projectile, how many feet per second, and the muzzle energy. And basically that allowed airsoft and pellet guns and paintball guns and all that stuff to not be replicas, which are prohibited. You know, they're, so you can't import them or sell them or whatever. That's a criminal offense. And firearms, which are regulated. So anyway, what this Bill C-21 did is it made everything. It prohibited everything. Airsoft, all prohibited. Even spring-powered air and gas. And of course, firearms are regulated in another way. So yeah, all you airsofters, all your stuff is prohibited. So what does that mean to you? I got a little bit of details about what it means, like possession, and what the legislation is, the penalties, or I guess I should say. You can possess these things. It's not a criminal charge for possession, but you can't sell, buy, trade them. You can't give them to anybody else. And if the police catch you with one of these things, they can take it without compensation. They can just seize your gun. So if they ever see you with an airsoft pistol or a rifle or whatever it is, they can just grab it and take it away from you, and that's it. They can legally do that. So basically, this is the end of your sport. Now, when it comes to C-21, I made a video for our guy Matt Magelin here at the CCFR, and he was spreading it around the airsoft forums and in the airsoft community. If you're from the airsoft community, welcome. You know, I'm reminded of that meme. I don't know if you've seen it around. It's got James Franco with a noose around his neck. He's looking at the guy beside him. He says, first time. If you haven't seen the meme, it will make no sense to you. But if you have, you understand. It's like, welcome to the club. Yeah, we're all getting beat up on a daily basis here. And welcome, airsofters. Hunters have now gotten a bit of a welcome. More of them will come into the fold soon as the government makes their way through hunting rifles as well, which they've done a little bit of it already, but I'm sure there'll be more. You'll be in our group too. So that's the deal with Bill C-21, but I will tell airsofters this. If this is your first introduction to the gun lobby in Canada, and of course to the CCFR, understand this. We are going to fight Bill C-21 all the way. Now, it may not make it all the way through the process if there's an election, just so you know. I'll talk more about that with Tracy, but no matter what happens, we will fight it all the way. We will show up at every hearing. We will testify in committees. We will do education campaigns against it. We will do everything. This is what the CCFR does. We fight for a living. So I assure you, everything that can be done will be done. All right, next thing. So replicas was the first thing, meaning airsoft and everything being designated as replicas. The next thing, oh, I know why I wrote that. Okay. The next thing is the municipal handgun ban. So the government has now made it a criminal offense to be in contravention of a municipal bylaw. So if your municipality says, oh, there's a gun ban or whatever, and you ignore it, like you just keep your guns at home like everybody else, you can do time in prison for that now. This opens up a lot of problems, right? The issue is that gangsters that are operating in, you know, urban centers right now are already banned from owning firearms. It can always already go to jail. It's already illegal for them to possess them. Now it's double, triple illegal, but it's not going to, but you don't have to actually have it be an illegal possession or point a gun at somebody or shoot somebody or threaten somebody with it. Now you can just be a licensed gun owner in your house the way you have been for the last 40 years and just run afoul of the law, especially if you don't know about it. Very interesting. So this is what the federal government has done, and the provinces are pushing back. They're saying we're gonna pass provincial legislation to block that, and they can do that. So look forward to a big fight happening there. I'm sure Tracy and I'll talk about that later. Now the next thing is advertising. I just said to Tracy, why did I have advertising on my list? Well, there was some legislation in Bill C-21 that deals with advertising. So basically you can't advertise guns in a way, well, here's the quote from the legislation, in a manner that promotes violence against a person. And not only can, if you're the gun owner or director, but if you have a relationship with the owner of a gun store or manufacturer or whatever, advertising guns in a manner that promotes violence against a person, you can go to jail too. So not only just the person that's doing it, anyone they have a relationship with, that's the way it's written in the legislation. So it's just sitting there waiting for abuse. I don't even know what the deal was with this. I don't know anybody that's like, if you need to shoot somebody, you know, Smith & Wesson's a way to do it. Now for $395, he's Smith & Wesson semi-auto. Like, I don't know who's doing that in Canada, but anyway, needed legislation, right? So that's a real problem. I mean, to be To be clear, you can also be convicted on a summary conviction, which is $5,000 fine and or 6 months in prison, right? So either or. But I mean, still, for advertising mistake or something that they believe, that's a very subjective test there to get convicted of that. Then you have magazine altering. So to physically alter the capacity of a magazine is now a federal offense, a criminal offense, as is possession of an overcapacity magazine. Why they needed that? There's still no one that knows why that's required. And how do you prove somebody was actually the person that altered the magazine, that drilled the pin out, or, you know, took the blocker out, or smashed the follower down so it could accept more than the prescribed number of rounds? How do you know it was them that did it? All you know is that they possess it, and that is already a criminal offense. I mean, these people, I don't know what's going on with them. And then you have red and yellow flag laws. So red flag laws exist in Canada already. Same thing you could say about yellow flag laws, but now instead of you having to get the police to go along with your claim that someone is threatening you with a firearm or the Crown or a judge or whatever, now you can just go to a judge and say, somebody's threatening me with a firearm, and you can make those reports yourself and have somebody's firearms taken away. If the judge agrees, there's a process there, to be fair, right? I'm not into spreading misinformation. But anyway, the big one is the doctors wanted this. The doctors in the Spin Docs group want to be able to, somebody comes in, they have a problem, they'll say, I'm sending the cops to your house. That's what they want, for better or worse, I guess. That's going to stop a lot of people from seeking help. So whatever. Then they had some stuff for straw purchasing and smuggling. So I doubt you'll find a gun owner anywhere that disagrees with people that have a license to own a firearm going buying firearms and selling them to gangs. You're not going to have a lot of argument that those people should be held harmless. I think those people should go to jail because they're dragging me into it, into all that stuff too. They're dragging me into a position where I'm having my things taken away for their actions. So I guess that's okay. But that was against the law to begin with, so I don't know. And when it comes to smuggling, they're changing the penalties for smuggling from 10 years per charge per occurrence to 14. But I'm not aware that anyone ever got 10 to begin with. So we have a judicial problem, right? We have an enforcement problem. We don't have a problem that there aren't enough laws. So all in all, basically what this is all saying is, it's more of the same garbage, right? It's just like, oh, look what we pass. And it's like, nothing's going to make a difference to gun violence. Anyway, I don't have to convince you of that. And the last thing is grandfathering. So I mentioned, or I may have mentioned in some of the interviews, the grandfathering provision means that you don't have to give up your firearm when the buyback comes. So the buyback, which is confiscation, you have a choice to either sell your gun to the government. You're not buying it back. You're selling it to them by force, or give it to them for nothing. It's up to you, or keep it. Now, if you have to keep it, and these are all long guns, right? And the overwhelming majority, other than AR-15s and a few short-barreled semi-autos, these were all non-restricted firearms, non-restricted long guns. Well, now if you want to keep it, they're prohibited. That means you have to register them. We could be talking about 900,000 guns too, somewhere between 250,000 and 900 or a million. Right? 900,000 or a million guns. Nobody really knows, right? And when it comes to, now this is interesting because I did a video, which I'd like you guys to share if you can, about firearm registration, the long gun registry. Well, it's back. It really is. Because now it's back for, you know, whatever, several hundred thousand guns. And as the liberals put more guns on the prohibited list, because you know what's next, right? It's SKSs. That's what's next. And once they get all the semi-autos, the SKS being probably one of the most ubiquitous semi-autos out there because it's cheap, shoots cheap ammunition. Once they're all done, then they'll move on to rapid repeating fire firearms. They'll come up with some weird name, but they're repeating firearms is basically what they are. So your lever actions and your pump actions, those will probably be next, just like Australia. This government has a real obsession with Australian gun laws, right? So That's the deal there. So once they do that, you can keep those guns, but you'll have to register them or give them up. There's your option, confiscation or registration. And then if you choose registration, probably confiscation later, right? Because once they know where they all are, then they'll want them back. So anyway, I think that's the majority of of things you should be concerned about on Bill C-21. Okay, I'm not going to talk any longer about this stuff because I know Tracy's conversation, our conversation is like 17, 18 minutes long. So let's see if we can get Tracy on the Skype. All right, on the Skype, we've got Tracy Wilson. Wilson.
Giltaka.
Okay.
Crazy 24 hours, eh, bud?
Yeah, well,
so much going on.
It's been more than 24 hours, but it has been insane.
What day is it?
What's that?
I don't even know what day it is anymore.
I do, because I'm supposed to have the script for episode 5 done by tomorrow. And I don't even have one full block out of the 4 done. So I got to call the people over at Wild TV and delay it again.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm
failing.
Well, you have good reason. There's been a lot going on. Something big happened.
Yeah. So. Well, the show must go on, and I guess I'll just have to work harder. Okay. So I went through the full analysis of Bill C-21 and, you know, all the rest of that stuff. So we can talk about more of the fun stuff, the political stuff. So
yeah,
you and I have been doing nonstop interviews. I think I did 8 yesterday. I did another 5 today, and that takes a lot of energy. So I'm kind of a little bit disjointed and exhausted. But I think both of us have been saying in these interviews that Bill C-21 may not ever see the light of day, might not ever be passed.
Yeah, that's totally true. So with C-71, we saw that took about 14 months to make its way through the regular parliamentary process. You've got, you know, readings of the bill, you've got voting on the bill, you've got committee study, you've got, you know, the testimony by expert witnesses. There's a lot that goes into the regular process. So it takes anywhere, depending, I mean, if it's something that there is no real opposition to, it can go through pretty quick. But of course, this will have massive opposition to it. So I would expect it to take about the same length of time. However, I don't think the Liberals have that much time because they are looking at possibly dropping the writ in the spring for a June election. Excuse me. Sorry, I've been talking all day. Now, what happens then is as soon as the writ drops, everything on the order table dies, right? So this bill is very likely never going to see the light of day during this cycle. Of course, it can be recalled after or retabled after an election, should the Liberals be successful again. Yeah, so I think a lot of this is just political theater. It's electioneering. It's gearing up. It's like floating a trial balloon out there to see how Canadians react to it, see if it's got support or not, knowing at the end of the day, they're not going to actually have to do the work. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, I was mentioning, I was on the Danielle Smith show. And I think I mentioned I was on with Mark Petroni as well in Mississauga.
Yeah.
But I mentioned it's like there were reports, people were posting things that at the end of the day yesterday, people were getting calls from pollsters, polling companies, asking them what they thought of the new gun bill that was tabled. I'm like, who's paying for those polls? Right?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's all electioneering.
Yeah, I'd be interested.
I actually heard from a gun club today who said that they received a call from Elections Canada to see if their facility would be available as a voting station because, of course, with, you know, COVID, they're trying to have more voting stations so there's less people in one place. And I thought it was kind of hilarious that they're looking at using a gun range for that, but whatever, nothing surprises me at this point. But there's nobody that can look me straight in the face and tell me that, you know, the government is not gearing up for an election. Of course they are.
Yeah. Well, they've admitted as much. I'm trying to read my own writing. So, which is, I'm such a mess right now.
I know, me too. I don't even want to look at the screen and see my own self at this point.
Yeah,
but
yeah, me neither. I think we were just talking a minute ago. By the end of the day yesterday, I think I did a CTV interview at like 6 o'clock my time or something, really late. And I could see myself, and my ears were all red, and my the bottom lines of my eyelid, under my eyes were red. And I'm like, man, you look terrible. Whatever.
I actually tried to record a video for another project I'm working on today, and I did 2 takes, and I just deleted them both, and I'm like, just look at it again tomorrow because you look terrible. So anyways, here we are.
Yeah.
This is what you get.
Well, I tried to make that airsoft video last night, and you know, I told Matt, I'm like, oh, I can have this done in like half an hour. And I looked at how many takes it took, and it was like 20 times. So anyway, why do I have the word advertising on this list? That's the real question.
I'm not entirely sure. Well,
who cares? I'll tell you what we can talk about is the provincial showdown that is Bill C-21.
Yeah. So what's really interesting about C-21 was, of course, the Liberals have snuck in this municipal handgun ban idea that's completely ridiculous that they've been promising. And I look at it as a shot across the bow at the provincial premiers, because there's a couple provinces in particular who have already taken action or in the process of taking action against this. Saskatchewan Premier Scott Moe passed legislation last June to prevent this from happening. So Saskatchewan, as far as it seems right now, will be exempt from any municipal handgun bans. They're not allowing the municipalities within their jurisdiction to create anything new like this. So that's good. Alberta is also in the process of doing that. Now, I was reading an article where Premier Moe was pretty ticked off, and he said that there had been no consultation with the provinces about this. All they got was a phone call afterwards from the PMO letting them know that it had been done. And he said that, you know, it's kind of an insult, because what you're doing is you're circumventing the jurisdiction of the province. The municipalities are a creature of the province, not the federal government. So this is a big overstep. And I mean, some provinces aren't going to complain because maybe they're a little more friendly to these ideas. But yeah, it is interesting because Alberta is gearing up to have a showdown. Premier Scott Moe's been vocal all day about it. You know, we're going to get some reaction from Doug Ford, but he's been pretty steadfast in his, you know, in his opposition to any kind of gun bans. He'd like to see some credible work on crime, imagine. And yeah, even Manitoba isn't exactly friendly with this idea. So, you know, we'll see how she goes, but I think this is going to be a massive, catastrophic mess that is going to result in nothing but more division and more, you know, it is an insult. Like, there are actual real things going on right now. There's a global pandemic. There's, you know, a failed vaccine rollout. The provinces are begging the federal government for vaccines. And at the same time, Trudeau's running around sneaking behind their back and trying to give municipalities powers that can, you know, should be beholden to the province. So
yeah. Well, it's a great channel changer for him. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then on the fun side, there's a new hashtag floating around, hashtag gateway guns.
You know, out of everything that's happened in the last, since it started, I guess 36 hours, this has got to be my favorite thing.
Yeah.
So in the big mess that's going on social media, over on the Spin Doctor's Twitter feed, of course, it's just, you know, flailing around, freaking out about everything. There was a tweet yesterday. I scrolled past it, and I actually had to back up and just sink in. Like, what? What did I just read? So it says, I'm going to quote it. "We are particularly pleased with the action taken on non-powder firearms, BB and pellet guns, a gateway gun that is the cause of injury in children," said CDPG's Kirsten, whatever, pediatric emergency physician from Halifax. Gateway gun. So that's like, is that like a gateway drug, but like a toy gun?
Yeah, it all started with a cap gun. Then it just wasn't enough for me after a while. I moved on to pellet guns, and they were the gateway to a whole world of guns and violence. And misogyny and racism and white supremacy and other isms and phobias.
Just outrageous. Like, I've raised two girls. They're grown. I've got an 8-year-old grandson. I was looking at him last night. You know, he was playing some video game, and then, you know, he picked up his Nerf gun, and I was like, stop immediately. Stop what you're doing. That is a gateway gun.
Yeah, exactly. Like, where does it end?
I don't know, man. Like, that's total grasping. Like, just trying to find any little thing they can cling on to. Like, these are actual educated medical health professionals.
Yeah.
Calling toy guns gateway guns.
Well, and so all kidding aside, It's just, this is par for the course. These people, this is not their area of expertise. They don't know anything about gun policy. They don't know anything about law enforcement. They don't know anything about actual guns. They know about penetrating trauma. And they're, you know, when it comes to the core group of doctors and the Canadian Doctors for Protection from Guns, AKA the spin docs, the core group are, the problem with them is they're narcissists. They don't want to talk to anybody else. You know, when all this started, I sent an email. I said, hey, you know what? Let's get together and talk. And it was just like right from the get-go, you're a racist. Well, no, you're it was misogynist and racist because we're attacking a woman of color. That was the first one. And I was like, what a reaction from doctors. So, you know, right. And that's where it just went downhill from there. So just, they don't know what they're doing there. And I'm going to say it flat out, and it's the truth. They're Trudeau's useful idiots. You know, they're doctors. They belong in the hospital. They belong having a medical relationship with their patients. And they waded into something they don't know anything about. And their hubris won't allow them to say, you know what? That's true. I don't know anything about this stuff. You know what? The regular people of the gun lobby, I'm going to stop calling them racists and see if they'll take, you know, if I can still take up their offer and get together and just talk. And maybe together we can all find a solution. And I've offered that countless times, no matter how many times they punch me in the face. And, you know, it's just, they want war. They want conflict. And it's like, man.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't think this is that difficult. And, you know, we've reached out to Kathleen Finley. Kathleen Finley.
That's it.
And talked to her about her 988 program, and we put her on TV ourselves, and we spread around her information. All of a sudden, there's a motion to get 988 done. We talked to Marcel over at the One by One movement. We raise money for them. Like, these are all great people doing great things, and they don't seem to have a problem talking with us like mature adults and working together. And I think, you know what's really weird? And I know I've kind of gone off on a tangent here, but what's really weird is you have the gun lobby being the example of how people from different areas of the political and ideological spectrum can come together and actually do good for society. It's left up to the stinking gun lobby, Wilson.
Well, and look at, we even, you know, you worked with Pete Merrifield. He's the vice president of the National Police Federation. You know, this is, law enforcement works with us. Youth intervention groups work with us. Victims of violence work with us. You know, advocates for mental health work with us. The only people that don't work with us is them. And they keep sort of making fun of us. But I don't see a whole lot of collaboration on their end from anybody other than their own inner circle. So, I mean, I don't know. It shouldn't be an us and them. If the goal here really is to have a safer, healthier Canada, then we should actually be on the same team. The fact that we're not, I don't know. I think it speaks to where people are in this, right?
Absolutely. And it's probably worth mentioning that even among anti-gun groups, they are fighting with each other right now. Polly's losing their minds. And the docs are like, oh, no. Trudeau's our friend. Don't worry about those Polly people. We're your friend. Like, it's all getting weird over there.
Yeah, it totally is. There's actually an interesting iPolitics article that I was reading this morning saying that, you know, there's a rift in the anti-gun lobbies. Because of course, Pauly Sousouvier, they obviously knew exactly what was going to be in the bill, because they had a statement ready to go, right? It was out almost momentarily after the bill was tabled, reacting to it. And of course, they've denounced it. They are furious. They're calling Justin Trudeau out all over Twitter, freaking out, calling this a complete win for the gun lobby, which I don't know. I'm not exactly feeling like I got a trophy here, so I don't know.
It was a win.
But yeah, they completely reject it in its entirety. And then you have the Canadian Doctors for Scared of Guns or whatever. They've got their statement and they fully support it. And they, you know, of course they never think it goes far enough, but yeah, they support it. And there's an interesting reason why. And here's the one thing about those two lobbies that are completely different. The doctor lobby, the spin doctors, they have been lobbying really hard for a change in the powers that doctors have over gun owners' lives.
Oh, yeah.
So they are looking to be able, you know, I mean, anybody can report a safety concern, as you well know, can report a safety concern about a gun owner, whether that you think they're a danger to themselves or somebody else. There is a process for that. There's a framework for that. It already exists, right? It's there and it's been used and it's worked successfully. I'm not saying every time, but it does. Now, that's not good enough for them, right? They want these overreaching powers. They want the powers that you don't have the ability to defend yourself against any claims made about you. There's just some really weird power tripping things happening there. And even you go look at Dr. Drummond's Twitter feed, and they didn't go far enough for him either. And he is losing his mind because it's just not enough. Like, he just wants that big, you know, I don't know, like Thor with his hammer or something. Like, he's done craving that for that. He's going nuts over there. Mm-hmm. And to me, that speaks to it, because they're applauding the bill, except for they wanted even more power than they were given, which is, you know, it can be abused. It can be excessive. And then you have Pauly Sussuvier totally abandoned by them, who are just furious because they don't really agree with anything in this. So yeah, there's not so much unity over there on that side of the table right now.
No, and the docs, along with Wendy, have burned all their bridges with these community groups, and this feud's been going on for a long time. Even at the meeting of the health committee, Toronto City Health committee, and that big conflict that went on there. Anyway, what a mess! Yeah. But
it's a complete mess. But the good news is, Rod, I want to let you know, we have had so many airsoft and paintball organizations and groups reach out to us, and they're like, hey, this is crazy. We've got paintball and airsoft companies who are now hosting a link to get a CCFR membership on their website. So, you know, back in May, I kept calling this, you know, I'd use hashtag hunting gun ban. And of course it would make Pauly Sussuvier and all the other guys freak out, because they want to keep it that this is an assault rifle ban. So it's really funny, because I welcomed hunters to the fight then, as we know now, there's all kinds of shotguns, hunting rifles of all kind on the ban list. So we welcomed hunters to the fight back in May, and yesterday we welcomed paintball and airsoft. So as the other side seems to be falling apart, our side is really coming together. So it is what it is.
Yeah. You know, unfortunately, nobody should be going through this crap. And the government should be tackling violent crime in cities, violent crime in rural communities, and property crime. There's all your gun problems gone, you know? Mm-hmm. So anyway, well, cool. All right. Well, I think we've been at it about 18 minutes, and we might as well wrap it up, and we'll do another podcast probably next week. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. Just to let our listeners know, we were in a technical briefing with the minister's staff, public safety, the DOJ was there, Department of Justice, RCMP officials. So we were in a technical briefing. You know, it's not really the place for political debate, but it was a great opportunity to ask some really technical questions. There's a video that we just put out about the whole registration of some of these guns. And we'll be coming back around with more. It's just, you know, it's been about 36 hours. A lot has happened since then. A lot has been done. And of course, that'll continue.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thanks for coming on, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, great. Thank you.
All right, everybody. That's going to do it for episode 86 of the CCFR Radio podcast. Again, thank you, Vortex Canada, for continuing to support the podcast, Vortex, the Power of Optics. And thank all of you for all of your support. As you guys know, we got a big court case. We spent over $1 million already. It's going to be a long wait till that's done. And in fact, I have some other things up my sleeve I'd like to fund, and I'd like to do it. But we have to pay for it somehow. So if you can help us out by becoming a member or donating to the CCFR, that would be greatly appreciated. If you're not in a position to do that right now, because it's weird times out there, no problem. Just make sure that you take the time to talk to people in your life about firearm ownership. use Gun Ban Canada Exposed, right? Our series on YouTube and on Wild TV, on television. Use those tools and really be your own advocate. Launch your own advocacy campaign and use the tools that we've created for you that you paid for. They're your tools. So anyway, thank you for your support. Keep up the fight. We will never stop fighting. Take care, and we'll see you next time.
This is another episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Remember, if you don't stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms, who will? Join the CCFR or donate right now at www.firearmrights.ca.